From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Presiden Joko Widodo impressed with COVID-19 vaccine development. Police to follow FIFA and Indonesian Football Association rules in securing football matches. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has said that he is impressed by the pharmaceutical industry, which has pursued the development of a COVID-19 vaccine using an mRNA or messenger RNA platform, all without talking much about it. As reported by Antara, President Joko Widodo made the remark during the inauguration of PT Etana Biotechnologies Indonesia, a company that has developed the COVID-19 vaccine using an mRNA platform under the AW Corona trademark and through technology transfer and joint research with Abogen Yuxi Valvex China. He urged the coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Health Ministry to pay attention to and support industries such as PT Etana so that they can develop and expand their portfolio to other types of products aimed at animals and plants in order to establish self-sufficiency. The National Police have agreed to improve security arrangements at football matches by aligning them with the statutes of the Federation of International Football Association and Football Association of Indonesia. As quoted by Antara, Minister of Youth and Sport Zainuddin Amali made the remarks at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Friday. Minister Zainuddin said that the commitment was made by the police during a coordination meeting on Thursday, and the meeting's resolution were reported to President Joko Widodo on Friday. The minister disclosed the police will issue a new regulation which would align with FIFA and the Indonesian Football Association regulations. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi and Governor of Bali Iwayan Koster on Friday, October the 7th, reviewed the readiness of I Gusti Ngurah Rai Airport for the G20 Summit in Bali on November the 15th and 16th. As reported by Antara, the G20 is an international forum comprising 19 countries and the European Union that work together to handle major issues. Indonesia is holding the presidency of the grouping this year. During the review, Minister Sumadi and Governor Koster reviewed the construction of the VVIP building at I Gusti Ngurah Rai Airport. The VVIP building will serve as a facility for transits and for welcoming heads of state and government of G20 countries upon their arrival in Bali. The national halal industry has had a positive impact on economic recovery from the pandemic in Indonesia, which must serve as an inspiration for other countries. This was conveyed by the Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Kaumas while opening the 4th International Halal Dialogue on Friday, as quoted by Antara. The dialogue was organized by the Religious Affairs Ministry's Halal Product Assurance Agency with the support of Bank Indonesia as part of the 9th International Sharia Economic Festival. He also said that the theme of this year's event, Halal Economy Recovery, and its sub-theme, Accelerating Halal Certification for Supporting Economic Recovery, underline Indonesia's position as the current holder of the G20 presidency. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Biden administration on Friday published a sweeping set of export controls, including a measure to cut China off from certain semiconductor chips made anywhere in the world, with U.S. equipment vastly expanding its reach in its bid to slow Beijing's technological and military advances. As reported by ChannelsNewsAsia.com, the rules, some of which go into effect immediately, built on restrictions sent in letters earlier this year to top toolmakers KLA, Lam Research and Applied Materials, effectively requiring them to halt shipments of equipment to wholly Chinese-owned factories producing advanced logic chips. The raft of measures could amount to the biggest shift in U.S. policy towards shipping technology to China since the 1990s. Saudi Arabia's energy minister once famously said that the kingdom derives pleasure from keeping everyone on their toes. That is likely how White House officials and Democratic politicians were left feeling when the kingdom led OPEC to announce a mammoth oil production cut this week, causing fears of even higher inflation just 5 weeks ahead of the midterm elections. As reported by CNN.com on Wednesday, OPEC Plus, the oil cartel led by Saudi Arabia and Russia, agreed to slash production by 2 million barrels per day, twice as much as analysts had predicted, in the biggest cut since the COVID-19 pandemic. An intense pressure campaign by the U.S. to dissuade its Arab allies from the cut ahead of the decision seemingly fell on deaf ears. Haiti's government has asked for international military assistance as it grapples with interlocked health, energy, and security crises. This was pointed out by Jean Junior Joseph, advisor to Haiti's prime minister, as reported by CNN.com in its statement. After serious reflection facing a dire humanitarian crisis in Haiti, where hospitals are not having enough energy to function, cholera is back inside the shanties. It was decided in the Council of Ministers last night, October the 7th, to request military assistance from the international community to deal with such unbelievable humanitarian crisis, reads the statement sent to CNN on Thursday. It was not clear which countries the government requested military assistance from. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Garda Pancasila.
The first news comes from Bengkulu. The 2022 Media Arts Community Festival in Bengkulu, involving 13 media and performing arts communities throughout Indonesia, displays works with media art platforms or works of art based on media technology. One of the exhibition curators, Sujud Dartanto, in the opening at Taman Budaya Bengkulu Wednesday night said, the festival reflects the current picture that media is part of daily life. He said media art involves various elements such as kinetic, sensory, sound, light, immersive, video, animation, digital content, or artificial intelligence. Various works have been selected in the exhibition held from October 5th to 12th. The 2022 Media Arts Community Festival contains media arts exhibitions, cross-media performances, gallery tours, artist talks, and a series of educational activities for the general public and students in Bengkulu. The next news comes from Ambon. The Ambon City Government invites residents to use vacant land around their homes to become productive land through the innovation of Kalesang Kintal Kosong or care for vacant yards by planting fruits and vegetables. Acting Ambon City Mayor Boduwin Watimena in Ambon Wednesday stated one of the innovations that support regional food security efforts is the Kalesang Kintal Kosong digital-based application. Boduwin explained, people who have vacant land beside or behind their houses will be assisted by providing seeds. The results can be consumed or sold in the market. The last news comes from Gorontalo Province. Gorontalo Province is hosting the 2022 Indonesian Youth Creativity Week from October the 5th to 10th in Gorontalo City, followed by 98 participants and 102 facilitators coming from 34 provinces in Indonesia. The youths will participate in various competition of creativity on films, music, fashion shows, graphics, culinary, information technology, in the field of software and hardware. The committee also holds other competitions themed about Gorontalo, such as cultural parade between youth organizations, competitions to decorate bentor as a typical vehicle of the area, and marching bands. Assistant Deputy for Youth Creativity Improvement of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Abdul Muslim, Thursday said the ministry provides full support for Gorontalo to develop youth creativity in various fields. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event of October 8, 1912 about the First Balkan War. The First Balkan War was a series of battles which happened between October 8, 1912 and May 18, 1913, among the Balkan League consisting of Serbia, Montenegro, Greece, and Bulgaria against the Turkish Ottoman Empire. The war was the first part of the Balkan Wars on the Balkan Peninsula and aimed at capturing Macedonia, which was controlled by Turkey. The war ended in victory on the part of the Balkan League and the Treaty of London was signed. After the war ended, there was a dispute over the boundaries of the territories of the League's members, which led to the Second Balkan War. Now let's move to another event on October 8, 1929, when Jakarta Kota Station was inaugurated. Jakarta Kota Station, also known as Beos or Batavia Zuid, was originally built around 1887, then closed in 1926 to be renovated into the current building. About 200 meters from the closed station, the current Jakarta Kota Station was built. The construction was completed on August 19, 1929 and officially used on October 8, 1929. The inauguration ceremony was carried out on a large scale by planting a buffalo head by the Governor General of the Dutch East Indies, A.C.D. de Graaf, who ruled from 1926 to 1931. We end today in history with the event of October 8 about International Moon Observation Day. October 8 has been designated as International Moon Observation Night. This event is an activity to observe the moon either with or without a telescope organized by astronomy institutions and clubs around the world, including Indonesia. The date of October 8 was chosen because the moon enters the early quarter phase. This is the best phase to look at the craters of the moon. According to Info Astronomy, on that date, planets such as Mars, Saturn, and Venus can be seen more closely. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Baru saja ku beranjak beberapa saat sebelum ada yang mati menunggu sore menuju senja bersama harum mawar utama.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia takes leading role in building creative economy ecosystem. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opened the third edition of the World Conference on Creative Economy at the Bali International Convention Center Nusa Dua on Thursday, October the 6th. Before the conference participants, the President stated his commitment to building an inclusive creative economy ecosystem. He said Indonesia will take a leading role in building an inclusive creative economy ecosystem, encouraging a greater role for the creative economy in global economic recovery. According to President Joko Widodo, the creative economy sector can be a solution to improve the standard of living of the community at large and sustainability because it is able to break down geographical boundaries, gender, race, and economic strata. In addition, the creative economy sector is relatively able to survive in the COVID-19 pandemic era compared to other sectors. And some creative economy subsectors, such as application and game developers, television and radio, even grew significantly, triggered by content consumption, which increased significantly during the pandemic. The head of state believes that after the pandemic, the creative economy sector will become the backbone of the economy in the future. Therefore, its development must continue to be encouraged. President Joko Widodo believes that the creative economy in Indonesia and many other countries will become the backbone of the economy in the future, getting stronger and calculated. For this reason, the development of the creative economy must continue to be encouraged to become a futuristic sector, grow faster, bigger, and advance. The president also hopes that the Third World Conference on Creative Economy will produce the Bali Creative Economy Roadmap for Global Recovery to accelerate the inclusive and sustainable national and global economic recovery process. Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, hopes that the event, which is a side event of a series of meetings under the G20 Indonesia presidency, will trigger the momentum for the recovery of the creative economy sector affected by the pandemic. Also trigger an inclusive creative economy, opening up job opportunities and quality employment opportunities for the creative economy, the whole world community. Sandiaga Uno believes that the target of achieving 4.4 million new jobs in the tourism and creative economy sectors in Indonesia in 2024 can be achieved. The Third World Conference on Creative Economy 2022 carries four sub-themes, namely Creative Economy for Global Revival or Economic Revival, IP and rights of the creative of the rights of creative workers and intellectual property, inclusivity and SDGs agenda in inclusiveness and the future of the creative economy. That was My Indonesia Today.
I could stick around and get along with you. You know that I'll be with you if I could. come around and see you once in a while, or if I ever need a reason to smile. Every now and then I'm insecure. Let me show you life can be so pure. You're so fine, being on my mind. Get nervous every time, and I can barely make a sound. Whenever you're around, you're so fine, being on my mind. Get nervous every time, and I can barely make a sound. Whenever every now and then I'm insecure. Let me show you life can be so pure. Life is easy if you wear a smile. Just be yourself. Don't ever change your style. Oh, you're so fine. Be
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Lawar, Balinese Traditional Food. Bali not only becomes a tourism hub, but also offers a lot of things which can be enjoyed by many people who travel to the island, such as its culture, which still exists, and traditional foods. Those tempt the interest of tourists, one of them is lawar, as Balinese traditional food. Listener, lawar is a typical dish of Bali, which is a mixture of vegetables and minced meat that is seasoned. It was originally used to serve both traditional and religious ceremonies. But in the end, this food is usually served in Balinese households or sold widely in restaurants as Balinese lawar. Listener, the naming of this lawar varies. It is usually based on the type of meat or vegetable used. If pork is used, the lawar will be called lawar babi. But nowadays, many people use chicken for lawar. If jackfruit is used, the lawar is named lawar jackfruit. The naming can also be based on the color of the lawar. Take for example, it is called red lawar if the color of the lawar is red, white lawar if the color of the lawar is white, and there is another lawar called lawar padamare, which is a type of lawar made from a mixture of several types of lawar. Listener, making Balinese lawar is not too difficult. First, we must slice the long beans with a size of approximately 1 cm, then set aside. Bean sprouts are also cleaned by removing the roots. Then we can continue by heating the oil, then salt the ground spices until fragrant and cook. Next, add the minced chicken. Stir until slightly dry. After that, we must add the grated coconut. Stir over low heat until the coconut becomes dry and start being brown. Then remove and cool. The next step is to mix the long beans, bean sprouts, and chicken coconut stir fry. Please add lime. Stir until smooth and serve. Because most of the ingredients are vegetables, such as star fruit, jackfruit, young coconut, young papaya, with Balinese spices, it cannot last longer. Listener, please don't forget to try this Balinese lawar culinary if you go to Bali. Particularly, if you like spicy food, you can ask for spicy food according to your taste. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder.
Warna yang indahkan dunia. berikan jiwa. Warna yang indahkan dunia, harum yang sejukkan rasa, bintang yang serikan jiwa. Warna yang indahkan dunia, harum yang sejukkan rasa, bintang yang serikan jiwa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, in today's edition of Miscellany, we present you students of Gajah Mada University that have created a breakthrough in the food sector. To overcome the problems caused by soaring cooking oil prices in the market, five students of Gajah Mada University, or UGM, have succeeded in creating cooking oil from microalgae. Microalgae are micro-sized algae commonly found in freshwater and seawater. Microalgae are unicellular species that can live solitarily and in colonies. Based on the species, there are various shapes and sizes of microalgae. Unlike higher plants, microalgae do not have roots, stems, and leaves. The students are Fikri Ramadan, Jody Ashrib Satria Ayudhistira, Latif Al-Umami, Anindya Destifani Salsabila, and Muhammad Yuzir Irosoneri. They come from the Faculty of Biology, the Faculty of Engineering, and the Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences. These five students developed a research entitled Coil or Chlorella Healthy Frying Oil, in which they researched the use of microalgae as an alternative material to produce cooking oil. In their research, they extracted oil from the dry biomass of the microalgae Chlorella vulgaris. This research work was carried out at the Biotechnology Laboratory, Faculty of Biology UGM, and the Separation Process Laboratory, Department of Chemical Engineering UGM. The results of the research are encouraging. This is because the process of extracting oil from microalgae dry biomass is very easy. In addition, the quality of the oil it produces is quite good, like the cooking oil commonly found in the market. Fikri Ramadan from the team explained that microalgae are known to be able to produce the most optimal quantity of oil with a smaller land area requirement than currently known terrestrial plants. This statement was confirmed by Jody Ashrib, his teammate, who mentioned several advantages of microalgae, such as shorter harvest time, being able to absorb more carbon dioxide in the air, not taking up a lot of land, and having high nutritional content. There is also a value that microalgae cooking oil has compared to other sources. Oil from microalgae contains more nutrients, so it is healthier. If it is developed more intensely, it is possible that this cooking oil from microalgae can be an alternative cooking oil product. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kuaku berdiri, tak ada yang peduli kau sakit hati.
Berhenti
atur nafas sendiri.
We just know
damn son, harus lebih tenang and take time. Harus pikir panjang, masalah ada untuk dilawan. Coba fokus, buka mata, lihat peluang.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu. Tak masalah, gapai mimpi.
Stick to the plan and I don't give a damn. You don't need to worry, we gonna be, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Dengan cara baru lah, lu yang berlalu biar jadi masalah, lu yang negatif biar jadi yang elak, lu
ayo coba.
Freeze, harus lebih dingin. Peace, tolong didamain. Oh, cheers, tolong dituangin. Lebih santai dikit, kalau panas harus cooling down.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu. Tak masalah, gapai mimpi.
Stick to the plan.
To worry,
we gonna be,
we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Siap ambil papan. Bila mereka tetap tengah, aku tetap maju ke depan.
Hey, I don't give a damn.
We gon' be alright.
Sometimes we need to slow.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOA listener, today's Music Corner presents you a keroncong song entitled Juwita Malam by Paksi Band. The song was arranged by Ismail Marzuki in 1950 and has been rearranged many times by Indonesian artists such as Krisye and Slank. Ismail Marzuki, the composer, described the love story well and romantic in every rhyme of Juwita Malam. The song tells about the separation of a warrior with his lover. Alright listener, here is Paksi Band with the keroncong song Juwita Malam.
Engkau gemilang, malam cemerlang, bagaikan bintang timur sedang mengembang. Tak jemu-jemu mata memandang. Aku namakan di kau Juwita Malam. Sinar matamu menari-nari, langsung menembus ke dalam jantung kalbu. Aku terpikat masuk perangkap. Apa daya asmara sudah Thank you. masuk perangkap. Apa daya asmara sudah
Indonesia. Cinta di hatiku. of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.